Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
He's on the 40, he's on the 30, he's on the 20, he's on the 10. Oh, sorry, Cowboys aren't playing anymore, are they? The Cowboys are done for the season. But that doesn't stop us from being at AT&T Stadium here in Dallas, Cowboys. I told you I was going to be here today, Raleigh yesterday, I don't know, up in the mountains of Virginia on Friday, right here in Dallas on, what is that? I don't even know, Tuesday, whatever day it is, here with all my friends at Harvest America, Harvest Crusades, Pastor Greg Laurie. And this was kind of the pastor's kickoff event this morning. A few hundred folks here from around the area, Dallas-Fort Worth, Dallas Metroplex, this whole major, massive market here at AT&T Stadium coming up on Sunday, June 10th, live from AT&T Stadium. It'll be the next Harvest America. So it's like a local crusade for these folks here in the Metroplex. But then because of technology, it becomes a nationwide evangelistic crusade via the simulcast and host locations, which could be your house, it could be your church, could be your multi-purpose room, whatever. You can use it wherever you can bring. All you need is power, you need a screen, you need the internet, and you can be a part of Harvest America on Sunday, June 10th. So we'll, of course, keep talking about that as we move forward. But it's great to be here in Dallas today. That's mind-boggling to be in this stadium, which holds really, you know, 90,000 people. I don't know, the total max is about that number. And it was essentially full back in March of 2016. Excuse me. It was mind-boggling to be here and to see all that unfold. And God's just been doing some amazing things through Harvest for all these years. The church has been around for over 40 years, Harvest Crusades for about 28 years now. And somebody else that gets an idea of what's going on here with Harvest, who actually has a really cool relationship with Harvest these days. And we talked a lot about the Steve McQueen movie in the past, and we talked about Woodlawn and Mom's Night Out and October Baby. And, of course, we've been talking about I Can Only Imagine, which is opening nationwide on March 16th, as my good friend, John Irwin. John, we keep running into each other in different parts of the country. And lo and behold, there you were in Dallas this morning. How you doing, man?
We're fellow road warriors. Great to be with Steve. And it was a great day. It was unbelievable to see. I remember vividly being at Harvest America here in Dallas and seeing, I mean, it was just unbelievable, you know, to see that place packed, to see so many thousands of people making decisions for Christ down on the field. And I love Harvest. You know, we serve the same. Our why is the same. You know, our what may be different. You know, Andy and I make feature films, but the why is the same. We want to reengage the imagination of a generation with the gospel and with truth, and we do it in different ways, but we do it for the same reason. So I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss the launch event today. And you know, Greg has just become a great, great friend. As have many of the pastors in the Dallas area, like Jack Graham and others. And so it's just a wonderful day.
And you're at Jack Graham's church right now. You're at Prestonwood Baptist right now, are you not?
I am. Prestonwood, what an amazing place this is. Yeah, they're all actually...
That's a small little congregation. Like, what, 25,000 people?
You know, it's actually 40, would you believe it, in terms of members. And I asked that question today, and they just, you know, they have a great vision, and their whole staff is watching I Could Only Imagine as we speak. They're doing a pre-screening and they're just they've been great advocates and friends, and you know, we serve the local church. We say, look, what we do is we make feature films that uplift and inspire. We tell stories that are entertaining. You know, I go to the movies to be entertained. We want them to be emotionally relatable no matter what you believe.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to be a Christian to go in the theater. Hopefully you want to be one when you come out. But stories that showcase the transformational power of the gospel and of Christianity, that you know life is beyond redemption and grace and hope. And Woodlawn was like that, and I Can Only Imagine it the same way. It's the best-selling, most-played Christian song of all time, but who knew there was this incredible story of transformation and redemption that inspired such an amazing song.
Yeah, Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me, and that's really what the story is based on, is his relationship with his dad. And last year at the National Prayer Breakfast, you know, he got up there and they sang I Can Only Imagine at the prayer breakfast with President Trump and stuff. And he said, and this is the line that I always remember about that story, man, if Jesus can turn that monster into my best friend, he can change anybody. And that's really that's really the story. That's the story that's been going on for a few thousand years.
You know, Dennis Quaid, what an amazing actor, iconic actor that Dennis Quaid is. First movie in 1976, and of course he's anchored many blockbusters like The Day After Tomorrow and The Alamo, and been in films like The Rookie, and I mean, just, it goes on and on. He said, I've never played transformation on film like this before, and he gives this stellar performance in the movie. Very honest, vulnerable performance, very unique in his body of work, but he said it's amazing that people can actually change like this. And I remember when I asked Bart, because I love I Can Only Imagine. I mean, that song is not only a song that I love. It was like an emotional anchor at times of loss in my family, at difficult times. You know, I would listen to Imagine over and over again, and there's millions of people that are just like that. But none of us know the story behind the song that we love. And it actually was this incredible reconciliation between a father and son. I remember asking Bart, you know, saying, hey, if I were to literally put a gun to your head and say, is God real? Is Jesus real? What do you say? He said, absolutely. And I said, how do you know? And he said, because of the change I saw in my dad, just what you said. Yeah. I saw Monster transform into my best friend and the man I wanted to become. And a relationship couldn't be as fractured as their relationship was. And yet God healed it. God redeemed it. And as his dad was dying of cancer, his dying wish was to reconcile to his son and to change. And this fourth quarter turnaround from his dad inspired, the best-selling, most-played Christian song of all time. And something that transcended Christian markets. It charted on pop charts and country charts, and it became this worldwide phenomenon. And yet it comes from the redemption of this relationship. And I think the great message here is that no one is beyond hope, you know. Yeah. No one is beyond, no relationship is too broken. No person is too broken. God can intervene and change and redeem any situation. He can use our pain. He can use our mistakes. And he can just paint this beautiful portrait of hope out of tragedy. And this story is proof of that. And so it just feels really good. And the movie opens nationwide on March 16th. Amazing, and this was not intentional,
right? Yeah, I know. 316
with it. I was with another Christian filmmaker, Stephen Kendrick. You know, of course, War Room and everything.
I'm going to put you on hold, John. Hey, John, can I pick you up in the next segment? You got a few more minutes?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold right now, and I'll pull you back up. We're talking to John Irwin. I Can Only Imagine, the next movie by the Irwin Boys coming out on March 16th. We're going to talk about the intersection between crusade evangelism and movies when we come back.
Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Live from AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. You know, and I was born in Texas, so I'm an American by birth, but I'm a Texan by the grace of God. Have you heard that one before? Jeremy, have you heard that? We'll talk about that later. Yes. So born in Weslaco, Texas, way down south, and then left after a year and a half. But that was enough that I can claim to be a Texan. But back here in AT&T Stadium, where the Cowboys play, one of the most spectacular sporting event arenas, not just in America, but around the world. And then this June 10th, it will turn into the birthing room, mostly for new believers, and some people will be coming back to the Lord when Harvest America takes to the stadium floor once again. We were here in March of 2016, absolutely miraculous night. 82, 83, 84,000 people got into this building before they shut the doors. And then after Pastor Greg gave the invitation, over 6,000 people responded just here in the stadium. And then thousands and thousands more around the country at the host locations around the country. That's what Harvest America is all about. One day, one church with one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I've been working with Harvest and doing stuff with them ever since 2006. Because we did a Harvest Crusade in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I'm from, back in 2007, and I've just had the pleasure of working with them ever since. And it's helped keep me as a culture warrior guy and somebody that's spent a lot of time in politics. It helps me remember the main thing is the main thing. that you can talk about saving America all you'd like, which is important. But I think personally and biblically that God is more interested in saving Americans. And if America as a culture comes along, that's awesome. But Jesus didn't die for countries. He died for people. And so I forgot that as I was preoccupied with what I would call political idolatry. And God used Harvest to kind of rescue me from that and bring my heart back to where his heart is, which is for the lost. And for the church to be his ambassador. So super excited to be here. It was a kickoff event today, and the team's working hard. You'll meet a couple members of the Harvest Crusade team as we roll through the show. Jeremy Russell, former military, former police officer, and has been working with Harvest for a few years now. We're going to talk to him about his life inside the Harvest Crusade world. And I think we're going to hear from John Collins, who's the executive director of the Harvest Crusades and kind of the right-hand guy at Harvest with Pastor Greg Laurie. But right now we're talking to my good friend John Irwin. The Irwin brothers, of course, I can only imagine the true story behind the incredible song that we all know and love, which is opening nationwide on March 16th. And John, you guys have God kind of brought together this cool relationship between you and Pastor Greg and some movie makers and some evangelists. And listening to what you were saying earlier, you guys are really – you're both using technology. You're both appealing to large numbers of people for the same exact purpose, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, we live in an amazing time. You know, in my industry, you know, entertainment is America's second largest export behind agriculture, and there are now more cell phones than people on the earth. There's places like Africa where you know, broadband data is more readily available than drinking water. And so it's just amazing that we are what I tell people is the first generation of Christians that could look at the Great Commission as possible in our time. The gospel indeed could go to the entire world in our time, in our lifetime. And so, you know, that should fire you up. And I gravitate to people that are drawn to that and who serve that same mission. And Harvest is on the front lines. You know, another interesting study is something that preceded every kind of great awakening or revival in America is some sort of technology innovation that made it easier for people to communicate, whether that was railroads or the printing press or what have you. And I find that fascinating. And we are in that day of this massive technology and innovation that makes communication just so much more easy and effective. Yeah. The fact that you can sponsor a host site and have Harvest America beamed into your church or you know, city center or into your home. That's an amazing thing. I mean, if you think about that, that's not very old. In fact, that technology is only a few years old. And so what an amazing day that we have to live in. And I think it's just time that we get after it as Christians. You know, my Bible says, on this rock I build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, a gate is not something anybody's going to attack you with or throw at you. For a gate not to prevail, you know, you have to storm it. And so I think as Christians, we got to start playing offense again.
Yeah.
And we got to take the gospel to where people are. And when you look at the generation leaving the church and you look at frequent moviegoers who buy a majority of the tickets, it's almost a dead-on match. That's where they are. That's their move. That they're the movie theaters, and in many cases, their church, and where they discuss and discover worldviews. And so we got to play ball, and we got to play offense. So I love, you know, everything's bigger in Texas. McDonald's are bigger in Texas. Texas is larger than life. And you know, you look at that AT&T Center, and it's like you're in a Star Wars movie or something. I mean, what a massive. Facility. And so for Harvest to take the gospel there and say we want to use this to tell God's story, that's cool. That's amazing. That's something I want to be involved with. And we look at film the same way. We want to take the gospel to theaters all over the world. And we want to tell stories. You know, Jesus told stories and to communicate God to us. And we want to do the same thing. And so it's fun to just make entertaining films that people can relate to, but that draw them to the gospel. We've had tens of thousands of decisions for Christ with Woodlawn, our last film. And it's people saying, the common thread is people saying, man, I need what's in that movie. Can someone explain what's in that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I need it in my life. So I think Christians should not be, I know there's a lot of doom and gloom on the news, but trust me, we live in an unprecedented time. And we live in a moment that the apostles and saints and Christians that came before us were dreaming of. You know, and it's our turn, you know, and we're taking the baton and we're running with it. So it's important to just bring your gift. You know, what can you do?
Yeah.
And you have your voice. I've got my camera. You know, Greg's an evangelist, you know, and it's all of us saying, I want to use what I do for God's purposes. One of my favorite quotes is, stop asking God to bless what you're doing. Just find out what God is doing and get involved in it because it's already blessed.
Yeah, Henry Blackaby, experiencing God. That's
Henry Blackaby. That's exactly right. And so, you know, that's what we're doing. And what we've been called to do is just make movies. And it's so important when Christians champion those movies at their local theater.
Yeah.
It does matter. Your movie ticket is your vote. And it creates something called FOMO, which drives culture. And that's called the fear of missing out. Oddly enough, the most connected generation of Americans is actually the loneliest generation of Americans
right.
because all the social media isn't real and they have nobody they can count on. So what's happening is this fear of missing out and the need to belong is at an all-time high. So when we make cultural noise together, when you go see the movie opening weekend or take a group or take your youth group or take your church, own a theater, whatever you want to do, it makes cultural noise. And we get the attention of this generation that we're losing through the fear of missing out.
Yeah,
you want to drive a film goer crazy. Talk to them about a movie they haven't seen.
That's right. That's why it's so important for us, whether we're using the technology of Harvest America, which I'll keep talking about, but for the sake of our conversation with I Can Only Imagine. And the thing is, listen, let's all be honest. There's plenty of Christian films out there. I'm not going to drag my unbelieving or backslidden friends to because they're lame. And our our desires, our IQ, our digital IQ is so high now. But now we've got guys like John and Andy Irwin who are bringing us movies that rival the production quality of everything else we see. And now to not use it is to, number one, not love the Lord. And to, number two, not really love your neighbor as yourself. That's why I Can Only Imagine coming out March 16th, another great opportunity to get people into the seats so they can engage the gospel, they can engage forgiveness. John Irwin, God bless you, brother. I love you, man.
Thank you, Steve. I'll see you at the movies.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you at the movies. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you live from AT&T Stadium here in Dallas. Wonderful Dallas, Texas. A beautiful day. A little chilly out this morning. I think it was like 33, 35, something like that. But a beautiful day. This stadium is massive. It's crazy. If you want to see it live, we're up here in the press box right now doing the radio show. And the people at AT&T Stadium are always very kind. They run a very tight, very professional ship. This place is like a 4-star resort. But, man, I tell you what, God did an awesome thing with them last time. And the Crusade staff who's been dealing with stadiums and arenas for 28 years, we're really impressed with the way that the Dallas folks here at AT&T Stadium helped them in the past. And they made, you know, this was kind of a last-minute request to get up here today and didn't know what was going to happen. And they've taken care of us. And there's a lot of believers that work here, too. So it's really been a cool experience. And you see God moving throughout the whole process, not just the night of the crusade, but in the buildup and everything as well. So just here for the pastor's kickoff meeting earlier today, which was great. I'll be on a plane back tomorrow morning, but this is coming up on Sunday, June 10th. And like John Irwin from the Irwin Brothers, and, you know, their first movie that everybody knew about was October Baby, then Mom's Night Out, then Woodlawn. And then they actually worked with the Harvest guys, especially Pastor Greg Laurie, last year with the Steve McQueen movie. And then I Can Only Imagine coming out this March 16th, 316. You can't forget that one. And using technology and using what's out there in the culture to get the biblical message, to get a message of hope, a message of reconciliation, the gospel itself, out to the world. And so with Harvest America, that's where you have this, a gifted evangelist, and Greg Laurie certainly is. And oftentimes, you know, it's like, well, that's the guy out there, and they do the crusades over there. But that doesn't really have any effect where you live, regardless of where you live, because of technology. Now it can. So if you could bring your spouse or your children or your neighbor or another family member or a coworker to hear the gospel from, you know, clearly one of the most gifted evangelists in America, would you do it? If you had unlimited funds, would you jump in a plane if they would go with you and come to Dallas in June so they could come hear that message that's driven towards a decision, and Greg will ask them for a decision. Would you do that? I think I'd like to think most of us would say yes, but most of us don't have the money. Well, you don't need to have any money to do this. You probably have enough money to have internet into your house or a Roku or something, and you have a screen, or at your church. And so you can have people all around the country taking advantage of this gifted evangelist. Is Greg Laurie the answer for America? No, he's just one more tool in God's tool bag that we can use to share the gospel. And sometimes for me, I've struggled in the past where, hey, listen, maybe I'm not the one. It's this person. It's that person. Maybe it's somebody in my own family. I'm not the one. I'm too close or whatever the situation may be. But oftentimes you bring other people. It's just like Andrew. Hey, bringing people all the time. You've got to come meet this Jesus dude. I think it's Messiah, the woman at the well, who was a whore, for lack of a better word, married and divorced 5 times, living with another guy. Jesus set her up. He calls her out on it. And within an hour or two, she's bringing everybody from her town there in Samaria to come out and meet this guy. And we all need to be like her, the Samaritan woman. We all need to be like Andrew and take advantage of this technology. The same thing is true with the movie. And do I expect if you bring an unbeliever or somebody's got a broken relationship, especially if they have a broken relationship with a father, that they're going to come to the movie and in the course of 2 hours that weekend of March 16th, see, and I can only imagine that it's all going to get fixed. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that does plant a whole lot of seeds in what is most likely some pretty fertile ground. And it gives you the opportunity, if you have a loving backbone, to open up the conversation, to follow up. What'd you think of that? Well, what'd you think about the situation? How's your relationship? And maybe you already know that somebody's got a terrible relationship with their father or somebody else. There's bitterness and unforgiveness. God gives us all these tools to be able to use to advance the kingdom and to love people well right where they're at. So that's why I'm involved with Harvest, and I hope that's why you will be involved and get involved and take it to your church as well. By the way, if you want to, I can help you at any level with the Harvest Crusade stuff and Harvest America because I've done it myself. I'm still involved. So if you just want to send me an email, hey, Steve, help me get to my pastor. Help me bring this to my church. I'd be happy to do that. Just send me an email, steve@c2atoday.com. It's that easy. steve@c2atoday.com, and I will help you get that ball rolling. Or you can just host it in your house, whichever. But that's it's really dereliction of duty. You know, I speak frankly with you guys. It's dereliction of duty if we're not doing anything to share the gospel with the people that we say we care about, that we say we love. And if we don't, well, that's a problem. And it's really a problem of the heart more than anything else. So send me an email. I'll be happy to help you out. steve@c2atoday.com. Jeremy, I'm bringing you into this conversation, bro. Jeremy Russell is here with me. He's on staff at Harvest. Former military, former police officer, a husband, a father, and now a crusade dude.
Crusade dude.
With a really cool beard.
You know.
You got that whole Moses mojo going for you.
I got that 3 separate times today, and it's still awkward.
When people notice it and bring it up?
When other men notice it and comment on it, it is, I don't know how to take it. So.
Well, that's probably.
Thank you for that.
That's a good way. Just assume it's a blessing. I'm trying to, you know, give you some props, and that's what happens. So let's go down this road, because I love testimonies. I love stories. I think all of us do. Jesus liked to use stories a lot. So let's go back in time, and now you're a crusade guy. You're working with this kind of the biggest evangelistic ministry in America, but police officer, military before that. Like, how did you end up here, dude?
How did I end up here? It's funny, we were talking off air a little bit ago about how the Lord uniquely sets us up over the course of our life for, when you use the term, when you get on the right team. And yeah. I can now, at 37... my old years, look back and see that my childhood, my dad was a career military chaplain. I grew up all over the country, went to 3 separate high schools, lost track of how many elementary schools, you know, I went to. But it uniquely set me up that I can relate pretty much to anybody, you know, anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
I can walk into the room and have hopefully some sort of connection. So that is where it started, and that's probably farther back than you wanted to go. I got started volunteering with Crusades. I got out of the military in 2003, got married in November after the invasion of Iraq. I got to come home July 5th, got married in November. And the plan was we were just going to go back to Bible school, but we were going to mooch off my parents and just live rent-free for, you know, 6 months until school started.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, it was a good plan. Until somebody said, well, what are you going to do with your life? And I was like, I don't know. You ever thought about going on a ride-along? I was like, a ride-along? What's that? Well, police officer. I was like, no. Went on one graveyard ride-along, which led to another graveyard ride-along, and I was hooked.
Yeah.
get paid to drive fast, carry a gun. I mean, the whole like red-blooded American, you know. I was, what was I, 23 years old.
Wow.
And so the Lord opened the door. And so for about 9.5 years, I was a police officer in Riverside. And at that same time, paralleling, I started attending Harvest. My dad was on staff there. He actually started in Crusade before they moved him over to being a pastor. My mom has been a secretary there for probably 16 years.
Would you say that, you kind of got in the faith young and stayed in the faith when you went off into the military? I mean, were those areas where you kind of got into the desert a little bit?
I was raised in the church. I made a profession of faith, I think when I was 7 years old, and did the whole, you know, rededicate my life like every couple months. One of those. I was one of those until, you know, way too long before I realized, you know, you don't need to continue to like go forward.
Yeah.
So I was raised in the church. I was in church the week I was born, is the way my mom tells it. But I wasn't walking correctly for a long time, and the military is not conducive, I would say, to being a Bible-believing Christian. There's too many temptations and things that, you know, you're just exposed to.
Oh, man, brutal.
And so it was on the back of platform at my first Anaheim Crusade during the invitation, and the Lord got a hold of me and got me misty-eyed, which doesn't happen. My wife can attest to that. And it was like he was almost audibly telling me, this is what it's all about. Like all this other stuff that you've been pursuing in your life, the end of the day or the end of this age, this is what it's all going to be about, is these people coming forward and what are you doing to help? And so my wife and I started praying. She was a pastor's kid. She was raised in the church also. And so our entire goal for her was to be a stay-at-home mom and raise our children because we think that's important. But realized in Southern California, you can't do that just with a single income.
Yeah, it's just not affordable.
So praying for 10 years, it took about 10 years, but I injured my back on the job and got out processed, had to resort to back surgery and some other things. But it's financially set us up because through the pension system in California until it goes bankrupt, where we have, I have basically two incomes.
Which California do you live in, by the way?
I believe we are part of New California.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. So hopefully that goes through. It's a long way to go, but they just did that last week. So that's the down and dirty real quick version of how I got to where I am.
And what do you enjoy about the crusade process? I mean, you're on the street, you're beating the streets out here in Dallas. You're on the ground, you're mobilizing churches. What do you like about it the most, and what's the most challenging thing?
I love meetings. I love be it a one-on-one with a pastor in his office, or a meeting at a coffee shop, or a corporate meeting like we're going to start doing the week of February 3rd. Just casting the vision of what is coming, because who does crusade evangelism anymore?
Right.
I mean, other than Harvest, I can't think of very many, and so people, it's lost. Like it's not like Billy Graham is. You know, going around and people are still familiar because this generation, and Billy Graham is just a name.
Oh yeah.
In, you know, Wikipedia. So just sharing with them, this is what the Lord did at AT&T. So we're coming again. Here, pray with us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about the toughest parts, 'cause I've done plenty of ground level organizing myself as an activist and also with crusades, with Harvest. And then we'll talk to John Collins, the executive director of the Harvest Crusades, who just called in. I've got him on hold. John, just hold on a second. I'm going to pull you up after the commercial break. We'll continue to talk what God is doing through Harvest America and through Pastor Greg Laurie. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, doing one of my favorite things that I get to do today, working with my friends at Harvest America, Harvest Crusades, Pastor Greg Laurie, and Harvest America coming up on Sunday, June 10th, which I'll ring that bell until Sunday, June 10th. So I want you to get involved. I want you to talk to your pastor. I told you a couple minutes ago, you want help getting your pastor or your church involved, email me. I'll help you personally. And for some of you, you might go, no, that's the last thing I want, Steve. But thanks for asking. But really, anyway, send me an email, steve@c2atoday.com, and I will reply, and I'll talk to you, and I'll help you get to your pastor and invite your church to be a part of it. Or at the very least, your house, your friends' houses, your small group, your Sunday school class. This is an incredible gift that God has given us through Pastor Greg Laurie's gift as an evangelist and technology and what's going on with Harvest Crusades and Harvest America. One of the guys at the top of that list that's been involved with Harvest Crusades since Harvest Crusades began about 28 years ago, John Collins, who's no stranger to Call to Action Radio. John, how are you, man? Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Good to hear from you, Steve.
As always, and here we are back at AT&T Stadium. It was a
It was a huge leap of faith in 2016, and God blew it out here that night, John. But it's still got to be a little daunting. It's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to sit in here when you've got 90,000 seats. So how did this kind of come about again that Harvest America is coming back to AT&T Stadium here in Dallas?
Well, like all Crusades, we were invited. We were invited back. And, oftentimes that happens when you have a good event. Some of the church leaders that were here felt like we could give it another go, that there was still room here for some more evangelism. And so we thought, yeah, well, we'd love to come back. It's always a challenge, however, coming back and mobilizing the churches again, because there's a little bit of a kind of a Jericho experience. You know, the first time in, we really saw the walls fall down, and so that was a great experience. Next time in, however, the risk is that it becomes an AI. That was what happened. That was the city that followed Jericho, and you know, they kind of went in with overconfidence and felt like, well, you know, we don't need to send the whole troops. This will just be easy. And so we were wanting to make sure, we were talking to the pastors while we're out here, you know, we don't want to AI. We want to attack this with all of the vigor and strength that we have, and to rely and trust in God in the same way for His provision and His strength, because we're going to need it to fill that stadium.
Absolutely. That's going to take another act of the Lord to do that. The groundwork has to be there, and you can't take anything for granted, but ultimately we're throwing ourselves totally on the grace and the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. And I love how Pastor Greg talks about that now, that he's just, you know, willing to kind of risk everything for the sake of the gospel. And if you go back a few years, what kind of gave birth, John, to Harvest America, where you guys have been doing crusades? You know, it's been 28 years now, but those were all kind of local crusades, not really focusing on how do we reach the whole country. What kind of tipped that scale to create Harvest America?
Well, I think the technology that became evident to me that, look, we're live streaming our services every week from Harvest. And why couldn't we, cobble together a network of churches across the nation and use this technology for His glory, and to actually have a moment in time, a day that's on the calendar that we all work towards, a moment where people come into churches across the country, where people come into a stadium where we're holding an event, and Greg gets up to speak this message. It's one day, it's one church, and it's one message. That was kind of the theme and the thought. And it resonated right out of the gate. And so I think the very first year we had a network of close to 1,000 churches that were willing and able to give that a shot. And we saw the Lord move in tremendous ways.
Yeah, and I think I remember the very first year when I got involved, and you guys were kind enough to ask me to partner and be a part of it, because we did an event in Raleigh, North Carolina, while you guys were doing the live crusade in Southern California, and we were in a kind of a big theater set up that we had about 600 students there, 12 or 13 churches with their youth groups, and we had the two screens, and we joined Harvest America live. You guys are on the West Coast, we're on the East Coast. And quite frankly, that night, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work, this whole screen thing, us older guys are like, I don't know, but I don't think that the Holy Spirit is constrained by modern technology. And when Greg gave that invitation that night, I watched about 60 kids get up out of their seats and walk up and stand in front of a stage and stare up at a screen in order to make a profession of faith. And God is using it. The technology is on our side when it comes to the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. The message remains the same. The methods, that they can vary, but it's through the foolishness of the message preached that God has chosen to save those who would believe. And so Pastor Greg has just been faithful to that message. He delivers it carefully. He makes sure that nothing is left out, that everything that needs to be in the gospel for someone to embrace Christ and to trust Him as their Savior, He includes everything every time, and then he makes and takes that last step that a lot of times people forget to do, and that's just to ask people to make a response to to receive Christ. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. And so he, you know, he's that's the gift of the evangelist that he has. And it's wonderful to watch because we see amazing changed lives every year.
Yeah.
And we just shared a gospel or a testimony this morning of how the gospel changed the life of a young woman. I don't know if you've shared that with your audience, but it was just, it was an amazing story of a young girl who got caught up in the world. She was out of the church, but then kind of drifted in with some friends and stuff into the world. And then one of her her best friends committed suicide. She was along the way raped, and she just got further and further and further down this path and was depressed. They were sending their daughter to the psychiatrist to try to help her. She was trying to get her counseling. She continued to spiral down into drugs and promiscuity, and it just became a 5 years worth of prayer and wondering, will she ever be reached? And then this father tells the story of how he came to Harvest America. He was helping as a counselor, and there, you know, as he goes in the back room helping to sort out the cards, he looks down on a table, and just by chance, as he's looking, a card is flipped over, and it's his daughter's name on that card, and she made a commitment to Christ. And that was 2 years ago, and today she's actually working for Teen Challenge. She went in, got help with them, and then her life just radically changed for the Lord, and she's serving him now. Now she's working at 14 Challenge, helping other girls. And these are the kind of stories that just happen time and again by the simple presentation of the gospel.
That's exactly right. John Collins, Executive Director of the Harvest Crusades, and just been involved for all these years, and a good friend of mine personally and of the show. And thanks for allowing me to be a part of what God is doing through Harvest, and thanks for calling in today.
No, thank you, Steve, for all your help and
you're welcome,
for your
buddy.
Voice and moving the ball forward.
Absolutely. Okay, pal, we'll talk to you again soon. And we're talking to Jeremy Russell as well. Jeremy's also on staff at Harvest. And that one story, I hadn't seen that one. And that video plays earlier today. And that's just one story. One story. But that's what can happen. So, and again, I asked you this question before we got John on the show, and we got a few minutes left. But the toughest thing about doing crusade evangelism and being involved is the fact that every church doesn't get involved. And that's frustrating.
Right. It can be frustrating. And my experience is only probably 2.5 years of actually mobilizing and meeting with churches. So I don't have, you know, decades of experience.
Yeah.
But I would say with my limited knowledge, it's getting churches to understand that we're not a threat.
Yeah.
We're coming in with no agenda. We're coming in to come alongside them and help them understand. We're a small team of about 8 guys from California. There's no way that we can, you know, do something like this without the local church coming together, linking shields and saying we are going to advance the gospel in the DFW one day, one church, one message.
Yep.
But once they understand that, once they realize that we're not coming in and trying to, you know, launch a campus or take their people, we're just trying to help them, you know, kingdom build, a lot of times they get on board. And it's unique, I think, here in Dallas because we've never, in my understanding, come to some place. We were here in 2014. At American Airlines, we were back in 2016 here at AT&T.
Yeah, that's right.
And now we're back again. So we're just praying for, you know, the Lord to do what he did 2 years ago, to do it again.
And that's the thing. Even though that father wasn't expecting it, that was an incredible video testimony this morning. And now she looks like she's doing great, and she's involved with the Teen Challenge Ministry. And that's just one story. And the question that I always have for everybody else, and who in your life that you know, well, maybe they're right there in your home today. Maybe they're the other half of your marriage, a son or a daughter, or a friend or a family member or a coworker. Who's the one story out there? Because you just don't know. You don't know when, you don't know where, you don't know how, but you do know this: God's desire is that none should perish. You know that. That's God's will, is that everybody should come to repentance. So why wouldn't you take advantage of something like Harvest America on Sunday, June 10th, and let them hear it one more time from a gifted evangelist? One more invitation from you, Jeremy, and then we'll be done.
I would just say, if you're interested in getting your pastor involved, just go to harvestamerica.com. We just launched a brand new website, so all the information to host a simulcast is there. You can get more information. Steve's email is there. As our national director. So please, please, please prayerfully consider joining us on June 10th.
All right, on June 10th, live from your family room. You can bring a huge crusade right into your family room. You can bring it into your church, harvestamerica.com, or send me an email, steve@c2atoday.com, and I'll be happy to help you out. Jeremy, thanks for sitting in today, bro.
Thanks,
about
man.
Time.
It was fun.
Jeremy's been asking me since we met, and now he's finally here on the show, so that's been great. I'll be back in Raleigh tomorrow, friends. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.